All right. Once again, I thank God for being here tonight.
Amen.
And I just want to ask a question before we start here. What is help?
What
is help?
Help.
H-E-L-P. What is help? What is help? H-E-L-P. What is help? Seems like a dumb question to ask adults. Yeah. And see, and all those things. But it seems like a dumb question to ask adults. But I have to look back at my own life and wonder how long I complained about help. Wondered how long I rejected help. Where would my life be if I had allowed my parents to help me to become a young man instead of being the idiot that I chose to become? Where would my life be? See, because I looked at the days, I go back at the days when my father used to whoop me when I was a kid. Boy, I hated that. I hated that. I had old drunk dude, that's cruel. I hated that. You couldn't have told me that was help. That wasn't help to me. That was not help to me. But I had to come to a place in my life where I had to learn what help was. I had to get to a place where when I would be in jail, prison, house arrest, probation, man, I tried everything I could to beat all those systems. I tried everything I did to beat all those programs. I was set around other people, and I know you've heard, you get you what's called a Me Too fool. You get somebody who's on probation with you, and you begin to complain to that person about how you hate this, and how soon as I get off, I'm getting ready to do this. And he turn around and tell you, yeah, me too, man. It's a Me Too fool. Because you really don't understand that these programs are no more than a training wheels for life. That's all they are, is training wheels for life. The judge right now could care less. Actuality could care less about what you are doing at this moment. But when the paper comes before the judge and you've acted a fool and she has to make, or he or she has to make a decision based on what you've given them on this paper. But I used to think that I was so caught in the help, I mean so caught in the us against them, that I would not allow myself to grow. You know, I can remember as a kid, and I've told this story in this very room before, when I was like 11, 12 years old, and my mom would make us come in. I lived in the squares. In the squares, there's 300 kids your age, and we all out playing in the back. Now, my mom would call me in about 8 o'clock. I ain't trying to come in at 8 o'clock. Everybody just getting started. She would call me in because it was my turn to come in and take a shower. Come in and get you a shower, boy. I'd come in kicking and screaming. I would go in the shower. I'd go in the bathroom and I would turn the shower on, but I'm going to show her I would sit down on the toilet seat and would not get in the shower because I'm going to show her she's not going to make me do anything. You know how long? It took me a long time to realize the same dirty little kid that went in that bathroom was the same dirty little kid that came out. Had nothing to do with my mother. Had nothing to do with nobody else. Then I'm wondering why I don't have any girlfriends. You know, you're on a basketball court. Let me tell you something. When you're on the basketball court playing ball and you smell a sweaty odor and nobody else is seeing to be smelling but you, it's probably you. If you're at a poker game and you can't spot the pigeon, you probably the pigeon. You have to understand these things. So it took me a while to understand that what they were doing was for me. I look at Jonah, the story of Jonah. I'm not going to be long because with the bathroom situation, but I look at the story of Jonah. Jonah didn't think that was help. Jonah didn't think God was helping him. When he called Jonah, and Jonah tried to run, God called the storm to come. But Jonah knew, he knew why the storm was there. Because when the man asked him, yeah, don't you care? And he said, hey, take me out, throw me off the side. He said, because I'm the reason the storm is here. Some of us know why the storm is in our lives. Some of us know why the storm is in our lives. But we still choose to do these things because we want to reject the help. But do you know the story of Jonah? He ended up over back in Nineveh anyway, through the belly of the whale and all those things he had to endure. You look at the story of Joseph. Joseph found himself in a pit by his brothers, the people who are supposed to have loved him and cared with him. He found himself in a pit. When you read that story, you think, man, that was just ugly. What a terrible day at Black Rock. You know, that's the thing we go through in our mind. But see, God needed, we didn't know that God needed Joseph to get to Egypt. See, nothing in the Bible says that Joseph was planning on taking a vacation or that he was going on a cruise or anything to Egypt. But God needed him to get there. So he went through some ugly things. See, we don't look at them as ugly because we know the end of the story. We look at our lives sometime in a worse place than Joseph was in. You're not in a pit where you can't see. You're not in a place, you're talking about a hole in the ground. Let's keep it real. You're in a hole in the ground. There's probably things crawling around and everything else, man. You don't know when you're coming out. We're not facing things like that, but we look at our situations and we think that we're in a horrible spot. Let me ask you one thing. What does prison take away from you? Huh?
Freedom.
Take freedom? Yeah. Anybody got something else? What, you said a lot of things?
Takes your individuality.
Individuality?
Liberty?
Freedom of speech? I beg to differ with everybody sitting here.
Yep.
I beg to differ. Prison doesn't take but one thing from you. It takes one thing from you.
Your ability to be able to move around?
No. No. What it takes away from you is your right to make decisions. Don't take your kids. Your kids still out there. You just can't go see them. It don't take your car from you. Your car's still there. You just can't go get in it. It don't take your job. Your job's still there. The factory's still going. You just can't choose to go. So I had to come to that realization that once I have made enough bad decisions in my life, that God allowed my decision-making process to be snatched from me because I showed that I was no longer capable of making a sound, right decision. That's all it took for me. And then if you've been to prison, you start to understand something. You go from, like me, I'm behind the wall of Michigan City. I've been in Miami, the worst place, the worst of the worst. But then as I began to start doing, making better decisions, and somebody would look back and say, well, I see Kelsall's not getting in no trouble. I see Kelsall's not smoking in here no more. I see Kelsall's not trying to steal out the kitchen. I see Kelsall, you know what? Let's put Kelsall in a level one pot. They put me in a place where now I can make more decisions. I still don't have my total decision-making process back, but I have an opportunity to make a few more decisions now.
Sorry to interrupt for just a quick second. Do we have a plumber or someone knows anything about plumbing in here? We got a situation in the bathroom. Come back here and help us.
Okay. You're okay. But once I started making better decisions, then they said, okay, we're going to send him out to, you know, to the work release. Then once you go to work place to make better decisions, they'll put you on the reentry program. Once you got the reentry program, they take you off the house arrest. It works in stages, and one day you'll get a chance to take back all the decisions and make all your own decisions. See, today I have an opportunity to do silly stuff. I mean, I can get in my car and go where I need to go. If I want to go get high, I want to do whatever I want to do. I got the money, I got the resources, I can go. I just decided not to go. I had to decide that's not what I want to do because I had to really understand what real help was. See, because when I said in jail, when I got saved, May 21st, 2011, when I got saved, my life was still a mess. I was filthy. I was dirty. I was about 50 pounds underweight. I had warrants for my arrest. But my heart had changed inside. Something inside of me had changed to make I wanted to be something different. I didn't want those things anymore. And I went and turned myself in. And once again, I don't ask you to do what I did because you may not be called to that. Not only did I turn myself in, but I called the detectives and told them everything that I had did while I was out on parole. I told them about every place I broke in that I could think of. Because I didn't want my yesterdays ever to hold me hostage with my tomorrows. I wanted to be free. I want to, whatever they do this time, this is it. I made up in my mind, whatever they do this time, this is it. When I went into court, I didn't go in there asking for leniency. I didn't go in there asking. I told the judge the very first day, Judge Wendy Davis, she still laughs about that. I told her the very first day I went into court for the arraignment. I said, ma'am, I raised my hand. She said, well, yes, sir. And I said, ma'am, look, I don't need no plea bargain. So I don't need no public defender. I don't need no lawyer. I don't need no bail. I said, whatever they got on that piece of paper, I am guilty of. And so I'm asking God to send you through me because I realized when I started to understand what help was. See, because if I had still ran those streets, I may not be able to put that dope down. I had just left two girls at the dope house when I had broken that place to steal this thing I stole. And if I had went and sold it, I was going back to the dope house with them two girls. Because that's what my lifestyle was. That was my work, my pattern, my way I thought. But I began to realize what help was. For the first time in my life, I went to jail and it didn't matter. I wasn't calling trying to get bond. I didn't call home and say, I need some money. I didn't call home and say anything. The chaplain came to my room one day and said, hey, your family said, why you ain't calling? I said, because they spent far too much time and money with my foolishness. I said, now I needed me and God. I need to do some business. I had got to the place in my life where it was me and God. I wanted to do some business with God. And I wanted to do some business with me for real, inside. Not that business that people look and see. They can look and see, well, he got on a clean suit. He must be. No, I wanted him to clean up the stuff that I didn't understand. I wanted to pull out the stuff that always held me hostage, that kept me from being a man all them years. You know, I begin to look at the help because you don't always understand. Help sometimes comes in a weird way. You know, I look back when Amalek was fighting the children of Israel. They were fighting the children of Israel, and Moses got up on top of the mountain. And the Bible says Moses held up his hands. And as long as his hands were held up in the air, the Israelites were tearing their heads up. But something happened. After a while, Moses got tired. Moses was an old man. He got tired, and his arms started to come down. And all of a sudden, the children of the Amalek began to defeat the children of Israel. And Aaron and Hur looked up and said, what's going on? And they saw his arms were down. And they ran up the hill and put a rock up under him, and they set him down. And one grabbed one arm, and one grabbed the other arm, and they held up his arm. Sometimes somebody got to just hold up your arms. Sometimes you got to understand what real help is. It's not me taking you to my house and giving you a key to my house and giving you keys to my car and let you know where I keep my money and stuff in my house and my jewelry and stuff is all here. That's not help for a person in active addiction. That's not help. What I'm doing is setting you up to fail. See, we don't understand it. See, when I was a dope fiend, your home, Bob, much as you love the people here, your home would not have been a good place for me to recover. Because I wasn't ready. I would have stole you blind. I would have ripped you out. I remember a pastor took me in one time and he tried to help me, bought me everything, did everything he could do for me. And I stole out the organ out the church. I stole out the collection money. I seduced his nieces. And finally I went to him one day, we were talking, and I told him, I said, Pastor Taylor, I said, man, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, me too. We got to get to a place where we quit playing and understand what real help is. When we look what Jesus did on the cross, you wonder, what can that do to save me? Sometimes you think that was just a stupid idea because it don't even make sense. Over here has nothing to do with over here. But I'm going to tell you something.
Come on.
The enemy is crafty. When I let him in over here, he's got reason to mess with my kids back here.
Come on, brother.
I don't even understand why my kids going through what they're going through. I can't understand why my kids failing in school. I can't understand why they call me and tell me my son got an anger issue. Because I'm letting the devil into my life over here. It was like letting a dope fiend like me in your house and say, I'm leaving. But don't you go upstairs while I'm gone. Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Amen.
I'm going everywhere I think I can find something of worth.
Amen.
Yeah, I remember a guy, and this is a true story, and I'm talking about me. I remember a guy who left his house one time, and he told me, hey, man, I'll be back. But he didn't trust me. I knew he didn't trust me. He had a security door. He locked me in the second story in the security door until I found the goods. When I found the goods, I took the goods and shimmied out on the roof and low-hanged and jumped out, and I was gone. That's what the enemy does when you give him reason to be in your life because all of a sudden this program is stupid. All of a sudden, this ankle bracelet is on my nerves. You know what? I thank God for a chance to sit down. I wasn't running down the streets. I've been shot in the head. I've been stabbed. I've been jumped. I've been through a lot of things through that addiction out there, man. And I put people through a lot of things. When I finally sat down in that jail cell and I knew in my heart this was over. You know, I didn't call nobody to tell them. I could have called my mom and them and said, yeah, I'm different now. But I didn't call nobody. The chap let her come and say, you need to call home. They worried about you. I told them, I said, don't worry, tell them, don't worry about me. I said, you tell my mama her baby finally growing up. Because it took some understanding of what real help is. Real help isn't calling me in the night telling me I need $40. So what I do is I fix your situation for about 15 minutes. Because $40 rocks, I see the rocks now. They ain't big like it used to be. They have little bigger rocks out there, man. Well, like the rocks Victor sold back when I used to go to his house. You know, but what I'm saying is, so you're going to be right back in the same situation 15 minutes later. In 15 minutes, so why would I help you do that? Why would I bring you, why would you say, well, Lyle, I need to use your car. You don't need to use my car. But what I will do is help you to get a bus pass. You know, I will show you what you need to do. I will help you write the course to get your license back. See, because of the dope fiend that I was, license didn't mean nothing. That was the first thing to go. Drive top of you, drive around suspended. And your point is what? You know what I mean? I knew that before you stopped me. You know what I mean? What was that? But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, see, you know what? I'm a different kind of a preacher because I preach to the problem. See, because I have learned that the only way to make this thing is to get out of the problem and in the solution. See, I knew that my license are important to me today.
Come on now.
So now I got unrestricted driver's license. I have full coverage on my car. I have roadside assistance. I have never been late on a car payment. My girl asked me sometimes, why you always pay your bill early? We could have waited 2 weeks. I said, why not pay it early? I'm owing 2 weeks from now. I might as well give it to you now. See, because I was that kind of dope fiend that I'll rationalize. I got the $400 or $300 sitting here. I'll nickel and dime off of it. And now come time to pay the bill, I'm $60 short, and I need you to carry me where I should have carried myself. See, part of understanding what help is understanding that I am responsible for me. I'm accountable to the system. I'm accountable to my debtors. So what I had to do was quit getting in deep debt. They sent me my first credit card. I didn't understand because I'd been a kid and a dope fiend all my life. 40-year-old kid, 45-year-old kid, still thinking I'm a man. I'm a man. I ain't no man. They sent me my first credit card. I was over 50 years old. Sent me $1,000. Man, I had that car crowded in front of me. I'm headed to the store. I'm everywhere spending that money. See, now I had to learn. Then when they said, you're doing all right with this one, we're going to send you another one. So I took that one and started maxing that one out. I had to learn. That's a tool. It's a tool there for when I need it. Not there for me to throw it away. So I began to pay them off and cut up the ones I don't need. And now I just use it when I need it. I went to the store today, and I first thought I was going to get a few things, me and my buddy, and I thought, you know, I should use this card. I remember, you remember what happened last time? You know what I mean? You remember what happened last time? What I'm trying to say is this. You got to first understand what help is. I've come to this room before looking for help, but I wasn't really looking for help. I was looking for somebody to be my Santa Claus. I was looking for somebody to be my sugar daddy or somebody to go ahead and help my bills. Somebody to come down to the court and lie for me. You know what I mean? And see, I'm none of those things. If you ever ask me to sponsor you, don't. I'm not Uber. I'll come get you. I don't have no problem with it. I'm not Santa Claus. I'm not working all day so I can spend my money on your rent while you spend your money on dope. I'm not going to do those things like that no more. And there was a guy that came in here. In fact, I brought him with me a couple weeks back. In the courtroom, he used my name like that. You know, because I had talked for one man and let him off. The guy come up, well, yeah, I'm working with Lyle Kelsaw. Okay. And see, and I started to because God saved me on the adage of you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. So I started to get up and say something in the courthouse, but I figured I'm more mature than that today. I'm not the old loudmouth, aggressive person I used to be. I said, let me get out of the problem. So I waited and talked to the young man that night, and I told him, but let me explain some things. When he got him, so let me explain some things. This is what I am. And I said, now here's another list. This is what I'm not. See, and just like all the mentors here, we don't get paid to come here. You know, we don't mind spending. We don't mind helping anybody. We don't get paid, but we. You got to understand what help is. Help isn't me giving you my rent money so you can go get high. Help isn't me giving you my rent money so you can go trick. Help isn't giving my rent money so you can abscond and run from the police. That's not help. What I'm here to do, by the grace of God, is to show somebody the truth and what trap means. So somebody might say, this guy ain't no preacher. But I'm trying to tell you the things that trapped me. I'm trying to tell you the things that held me hostage. I had to begin to understand some truths about what is help. And until I understood that, help meant nothing to me. Help meant nothing to me. Now I'm going to close with this so we get out of here because I know they got things going on. But here you got to understand something. When Jesus went to the cross, when God called him, he sent his only begotten son that he might give his life, that I might have a chance at life, that I might have a second chance at life, that I might be forgiven. Now see, to somebody that didn't make sense, even to the disciples standing around him, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter stood up with the sword. And the Bible says he cut off the centurion's ear. See, because he didn't understand the plan, because that plan just did not seem like help. Because at that time, Peter didn't even understand what real help was. He thought this sword and thing was, because this is what he was used to. Too many times we want to lean on what we're used to, like that's real help. So what happens is, when Peter, they say, Peter cut off the centurion's ear. Let me give you a tidbit of this. Peter wasn't trying to cut off his ear. He didn't walk up to him and measure his ear and swipe. Peter was trying to cut his throat. He would have cut his head off if he hadn't jumped backwards. See, we got to understand, and Peter was wrong as wrong can be, but he thought he was helping because he didn't understand. That's why we need to take our time and understand what real help is. Being on these programs only put parameters in your life that you be able, it's like training wheels. They help you to stay on the road to where you need to be. And when Jesus finally went to the cross, they were all standing around. They were scattered. They were scared. They were crying. Peter even denied him because he didn't understand that to be help. Even the people around him who hung him on the cross and beat him and spit on him and laughed at him to the last moment, they didn't understand. Even the enemy did not understand that this was help. He didn't understand. If he would have knew what that was, he never would have allowed him to be hung on that cross. He would have never allowed him to be hung on that cross if he had just knew what he was doing. But when he did, and when he said, it is finished,
come on, brother,
and he gave up the ghost, the Bible said it got dark about that time. And then they begin to understand, wait a minute. They begin to understand the validity of what they've done. Don't let time run out on you before you understand what real help is. If you're in a program, if you're in a halfway house, if you're on probation, if you're on parole, get all you can get from there. See, I wouldn't care. They could have kept me on probation for 10 years because I'm going to do the same thing now that I've been doing then. It doesn't even matter. If you watch me and follow me around, you'll get bored unless you love the Lord because I'm going to preach wherever I go. You know, so that's what we have to understand. Don't get down. The Bible says do not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't get down on yourself because you're in a halfway house and you can't ride around like Tommy riding around right now. Because Cynthia riding around with somebody else. Let Cynthia go. She was never yours in the first place. Because what God has for me is for me. I'm not getting ready to let no devil in hell or no woman out there take me off my square ever again. Because I've learned some truth in life. I understand what real help is. I want to be whole. I buried one of my best friends, Pastor Taylor, a couple weekends ago. And he went out great. He went out a man. And when they stand over me, what are they going to say about me? I want somebody to say, that was an old fool for a long time, but he sure got it right in the end. Because he understood what help was. Let's pray.